for instance, to get more out of business networking, to build better relationships with people in general, remembering key points of presentation so that you are a more effective and persuasive speaker will be possible using the right techniques, right? I seem to learn more effectively doing that. Nobody fully understands how that actually works.
Welcome to Vitality Evolutions Podcast. Discover life-changing advice and insights from lifestyle, fitness, and nutrition experts on how to achieve a healthy, fit body and a powerful, vibrant mind. Feel stronger and live longer. Are you ready to rejuvenate your body, mind, and spirit?
Hello and welcome to Vitality Evolution. I'm super excited to introduce to you today Chester Santos. Chester is the U.S. memory champion, the international man of memory, world's leading memory skills expert, and creator of the memoryschool.net. I would like for him to tell us a little bit more about him and all the amazing interviews and meetings that he had with people around the world. Hello, Chester. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Wolf. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yes, so we have a great topic today, a powerful mind and memory skills development. So give us a little bit of an idea about your background and how this all came about. Like, how does somebody become the U.S. memory champion?
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting story. I was, told growing up a lot. Many times I got the comment from people, wow, you have a really good memory. And with those comments just in the back of my mind, one night I was flipping channels and I happened to catch a segment on ABC's 2020. It was a very popular evening news show here in the US. I caught a segment on the United States Memory Championship. And it sparked my interest because people were saying that I had a good memory. But when I looked into what the best people in the country were scoring in the various events in this competition, memorizing hundreds of computer-generated random digits, hundreds of names, decks of playing cards in just a few minutes, I quickly realized, although I did have a good memory, I was nowhere near that level. So that's when I started doing research. Okay, what are ways as to how people can go about really magnifying their memory ability, really improving it from where it's currently at? And I experimented with everything out there that I could find. I found what seemed to work best personally for me.
Right.
Stuck to training myself in that small subset of techniques until eventually I was able to win the United States Memory Championship. And since winning that competition, I've gone on to spend the last 12 plus years training other people all over the world in the subset of techniques that I feel can be the most useful to benefit them in their career, personal life, and also for people in school as well. I've given presentations now in more than 30 different countries for various types of organizations on memory skills development. So that's a little bit about my background.
Yeah, interesting. Well, when it comes down to memory, thinking about, memorizing hundreds and thousands of digits in a row doesn't really sound too exciting to me, right? And but I think there are many valuable lessons, and especially like utilizing your memory in a much bigger way than, maybe most people can imagine, have definitely some big effect on your business life, your personal life, or whatsoever, right? So let's jump into it. So what are some of the ways or that we can improve our memory? Like, how do you start people off? Like, because it seems like such a foreign subject matter to me and maybe our listeners as well.
Yeah, well, very good question there, and some comments from you as well. That is a common reaction. I myself am not that interested in memorizing, thousands of digits. The person that won the United States Memory Championship the year before me actually was in the Guinness Book of World Records for memorizing pi. But I've personally never become interested in that. My focus is really on the applications to one's professional and personal success, remembering names, for instance, to get more out of business networking, to build better relationships with people in general, remembering key points of presentation so that you are a more effective and persuasive speaker, remembering important business-related facts and figures so that when you meet your clients, potential clients, they're impressed with your knowledge, right? You can demonstrate your expertise in that particular field by demonstrating that you actually know some things, right? Rather than looking everything up all the time. Foreign language vocabulary. So there are a lot of, if you have to take a certification exam, so there are a lot of practical applications to improve the ability to remember things, and that is really my focus. And anyone can get better at remembering these types of things. There are three main principles, and this can be fun to do as well, believe it or not. Three main principles. One is visualization. So taking whatever it is that you might want to remember and turning it in some way into a visual. So names, in the case of names, you might imagine, for instance, you're meeting someone named Mike, you might visualize a gigantic microphone, right? If you're meeting someone named Jane, you might visualize a gigantic chain. Someone named Alice, maybe a white rabbit that might remind you of Alice in Wonderland. I open my presentations at conferences with naming hundreds of people in the audience after just meeting everybody one time. It's by mastering this visualization idea. You want to also link this visual ideally to something about the person's look. So for instance, if Jane has really beautiful hair, to you personally, when you meet her, that's what you're noticing. You might imagine that this chain is running through her hair. So how this works is the next time you see her, you ask yourself, okay, what did I notice about her look? To me, I notice her hair. You're very likely to notice what you personally noticed before. The image of the chain would come back to you. Chain might remind you that the name is Jane. It sounds a little bit unusual, but with training and practice, you can get very good at doing it. So that is one aspect to...
Let me ask you something, just to clarify, because it's very interesting, because I mean, I was aware of this technique, and maybe some of our listeners have heard about that visualization. So it's something, you know, that we might have come across. To me, my initial response is, oh, it's actually more work, because now I have to remember something else and all this and all that. But I think, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, is that in a sense, like what you said, let's say the work, the name Mike. So I always will use microphone as that memory crutch or tool or whatever you want to, I don't know what the term is. So will that every time I meet a mic, is that then what comes to mind? So over time, it just becomes embedded and will become easier and easier to kind of like recollect?
Well, really, I think one of the most important things to get out of this entire interview today, and it's the direct response to your question, is what we're talking about is skills development, right? So you're developing new skills, right? This is like anything else. It's a common response, the one that you just gave, that at first it seems like more work, right? Like an extra step. However, when you are, you know, for instance, I also play tennis. A lot of times when you're doing the stroke incorrectly, it's easier for you to do it that incorrect way, right? And you're just comfortable doing things that way. At first, when the instructor is teaching you the proper way to hit the ball, right? It's gonna seem like a lot more work. Oh my gosh, I've gotta put my body in this position and do this and that. But in the end result is going to be much more effective, right? It's the same thing in terms of memory. At first, when you're learning these new techniques, it seems like work, but once you've developed the skill, you can in fact be much more effective, and things that would previously have been impossible for you will be possible using the right techniques, right? So things like, you know, I've memorized more than 4,000 pieces of data about the United States Congress. I've memorized, well, you can look at my website, a lot of crazy things. I've been on a lot of TV shows over the years.
Right.
These crazy memory feats, those things would not be humanly possible without these correct techniques that at first seem like more work, right? but you've got to put forth that effort to develop the skills.
And I think then it becomes like anything else, right? I mean, I've been working out for 37 years. Initially, it's hard to push weights, to go, to drag your body into the gym and all that. But yeah. Then over time, it just becomes nature and something that becomes very easy, to the point even where you're looking forward to it and you're almost needed, right?
Exactly. Very, very similar. I love that analogy that you gave there. And I sometimes give that in my presentations as well. When I'm addressing the fact that, I mean, really my area is memory specific, but in doing these memory exercises, you are also doing brain exercise, right? And nowadays, all of the research is supporting that we should, in addition to exercising our bodies, we should exercise our brains as well. So committing things to memory, it seems like a lot of work, just like going to the gym and picking up those weights. You might not at first want to do it, but in fact, that's how you develop strength in your body. And this is also how you will develop strength in your mind.
Right. And before we started our interview, I had a question that was relating to, you know, I'm very busy. I worked, you know, 12, 14 hours a day. And it's great, I'm happy, but sometimes my brain feels already overloaded, where I do need to take a nap, I listen to my body, so I'll do the right thing in regards to that, but it seems like, oops, now I'm supposed to do even more work or something. So is that like a wrong attitude? Because ultimately, maybe we're using different areas of the brain, maybe in a way you cannot really overload your brain with too much stimuli. That's kind of like what my question is.
Yeah, very good question, Wolf, and it's totally understandable. You know, we are all so busy nowadays, doing lots of things, and people are feeling overloaded. It's a matter of deciding, you know, that you want to make improving your memory one of your priorities, and just start small. A little bit can really go a long way in toward, you know, in terms of developing your memory skills.
Right.
You've got to put in that work. And I want to address something that you just said. It's very another common response. People think that, you know, they don't want to overload their brain with information, right? They don't want to run out of space, maybe, or, you know, bother with putting things in their head that they don't need, right? In fact, there really is no limit to human memory. If there is a limit, we're not going to find out what it is in our lifetimes. And when it comes to learning and memory, it always becomes a matter of when you're learning something new, right? Committing something new to memory, creating a connection in your mind in some way between something that you already know and something new that you are trying to learn, okay? So in fact, the more that you know, the easier it becomes to learn new things. That's actually how it works. So the more you stuff into your brain, the easier it will become to learn new things. So it's the exact opposite of what most people think. So you might know that people, for instance, let's say someone has a PhD in physics, okay? You'll know that when you talk to that PhD in physics, they tend to not just know about physics, right? They tend to be very knowledgeable in a wide range of areas. It's because of that principle to how learning and memory actually works. The more you feed your brain, the easier it becomes to learn new things. So I hope people will keep that in mind when
right.
they're thinking that when they're thinking, I don't wanna, you know, I'm already too busy, my mind's already too cluttered. Keep that in mind. In fact, the more you feed your brain, the more effective you will be in terms of learning and memory in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that because, I mean, I've been doing digital marketing for 27 years and, you know, looking at software programs, you know, pretty much on a weekly basis, there's something new, a new program to look at. And it really becomes so easy for me to jump into something. I almost know where already a section is or something that I'm looking for. I already know where to find it. Oops, okay, right, there it is. So it's almost like I almost developed the program. It's very interesting because I'm aware in that particular area. So I can definitely then agree with what you're saying, you know?
Yeah, because you have spent the time, right? You've devoted that time to develop that large knowledge base, right, in that area. So when even when you're learning new things that are, you have something to connect it to, like, oh, that's kind of like this thing that I have done all of this work on in the past, right? So that's exactly what I'm saying. The more you build up that knowledge base, the more, when you're learning something new, you have more things to relate that new material to. So people should make the effort, invest the time in feeding their brain. So, and again, it baby steps, you know, a little bit really does go a long way, but you've got to start out. You got to make that first trip to the gym. I think the first few weeks, first month or so is probably the most difficult until you get into the habit.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about health and longevity, because, you know, that's of course a big part of Vitality Evolution's membership program. To balance our body, mind, and spirit, and mind is definitely a big part of it, because without an active mind, you know, and of course there are so many various aspects to it, it's very difficult to enjoy or live really an exciting and vibrant life. So do you have a little bit of insight on really boosting your memory, working on your memory? What kind of effects does it have for us, especially when we're age?
Yeah, so there's a huge mind-body connection. Everyone agrees on this nowadays. So I'm going to hit on two things. One, the physical connection to the brain, and then just focusing on the brain itself, the benefits when you go at it from both directions there. So one thing that you kind of touched on there, in fact, a healthy body does equal a healthy mind. We know this. And physical activity is very important for learning and memory. So I've given a TEDx talk. People can find it online somewhere. And I was fascinated when I gave my presentation. There was like, you know, famous professors there presenting as well. One was from NYU, Dr. Wendy Suzuki, who wrote a book called Healthy Brain, Happy Life. And her talk, it was amazing that what she was describing, I totally connected to it. She described actually being physically active, like moving your body around while you are trying to commit something to memory, while you're learning something. And I was just amazed that she was at the same TEDx conference as me, because I had always done that. Like, I didn't have any research on it or anything. I hadn't read about it, but somehow I figured out just on my own that I seemed to learn more effectively doing that. So it was really cool to see that she's done a lot of research as an NYU professor to confirm that the research backs that while you are physically active, it helps you to form these new connections in your brain. In addition, we know that being a lot of aerobic exercise, right, is connected to your overall brain health. So that was one thing. And then also connected to what you were saying is, in addition to working out the body to improve the mind, if you just concentrate on the mind and memory itself, you're also, of course, going to get a benefit there. And that's more my area. So what I do is connected to that, the physical exercise, but my focus is on the brain exercise. And I would recommend that people learn the types of techniques that I teach, and then do things like learn maybe foreign language vocabulary. Maybe if you don't want to commit necessarily a work presentation, maybe work on some famous quotes or poetry or something like that to be more interesting in conversation, having this access to this, you know, when you're at parties and things like that. Find things that you might be interested in personally, apply these types of memory techniques to commit that to memory so that you are exercising your brain, exercising your memory.
Very good. And I think, you know, my excuse would be to maybe you know, use the time less on reading useless news and probably just invest, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then maybe go up from there per day or so when you have a little bit of downtime to use some of those exercises. But so let's jump into it. Like, give us maybe an example. Like, I mean, you mentioned earlier the visualization in regards of names to kind of like, you know, create that association? And what else you, how do we start?
Yeah, let me get into it a little bit more. I'll go over a couple of more principles, and then if you're up for it, we can try an exercise.
Okay.
We can try to go through it, and then, you know, people that watch this interview later can follow along. I think people will find it to be pretty fun. But let me first go over two more of the main principles, and then we'll get into applying them. So far, we've covered visualization. A second principle that will always apply no matter what specific memory technique you're using, another principle is going to be additional senses. So you start with the visual, but if you can also utilize smell, touch, taste. And when I say that, I mean actually just imagine when you're seeing this stuff, imagine that you can also smell what's going on. You can, you're also tasting it, touching it. Research has shown, this is an amazing thing that they found, that if you imagine touching something, right, the same area of the brain lights up that does when you actually touch something.
Right.
It's really amazing, but it's absolutely the case. So when you add these components to the visuals, you are activating many different areas of your brain, and you are building more and more connections in your mind to the information, making it easier to retrieve the information when you need it later on. So additional senses is something else to keep in mind. I starred in an episode of PBS's Nova Science. It's the longest running science show in the United States anyways. People can find my interview online, you know, pretty easily, watch it for free if they'd like. They had me train this guy named David Pogue from the New York Times and CBS News. I trained him, and with just like a little bit of training, he was able to perform these pretty cool memory feats. Then they had some brain scientists, neuroscientists come on the show and explain to people at home, how did Chester do this? How did David Pogue do it with just a little training? And these brain scientists confirmed that it's because with these types of memory techniques, we're using more of the brain. You're activating areas of the brain that most people never involve. You're activating these extra areas, and part of that is learning to use additional senses. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's another principle, more senses. A third and final, I said there was three main principles. The third one and the final one I'll go over before the exercise is, in addition to seeing all of this and involving additional senses, try to make this all weird, crazy, unusual in some way, because there is a psychological aspect to human memory. And that is, all of us, with putting forth little to no effort, we tend to remember things easily that catch us by surprise, that are weird, unusual in some way, right? Now, Wolf, wherever you're at now in that room, and people can imagine wherever they're sitting listening to this podcast or video podcast, if suddenly right now an elephant crashed into the room and it started spraying water on you with your trunk, with its trunk, if right. That actually happened to you right now, if it really did, you would probably remember that for the rest of your life and always tell that story. Okay, guys, you're never going to believe this. I was interviewing this memory guy for my show, and while that was going on, out of nowhere, an elephant just crashed into the room, started spraying water on me. It was the craziest thing.
Right, right.
That might be stuck in your head forever without you trying at all to commit that to memory, right?
Yeah, well, I definitely won't be able to forget that now, so that's for sure.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that to this day, nobody fully understands how that actually works. How sometimes in one instant, something will go straight into long-term memory, stay there forever. Whereas other times, we have a lot of difficulty getting important information into memory, right? Names, presentations, facts and figures, exam material, things that we really want to know. We can spend weeks, months studying, and still it's not, you know, we don't have perfect retrieval of it. Whereas this elephant, in 1 second, you know, stuck there forever. Although it isn't fully understood, we do realize there is this psychological component to human memory. Realizing it, we can harness it, and apply it to things that would be useful to remember, like names, presentations, etc., right?
Okay.
So now we've gone over three main principles. I'll quickly review, and then we'll try to apply it with the fun exercise. So the three main principles were visualization, try to involve additional senses, if you can, from there, and then also, while you're doing all of this, make it crazy, unusual, extraordinary in some way, right? Now, if you can put those three things together, instantly it becomes easier to remember just about anything. So let's try to put this into practice now by committing to memory the following random list of words. It's going to be monkey, iron, rope, kite, house, paper, shoe, worm, envelope, pencil, river, rock, tree, cheese, and dollar, right? That is the random list of words. Now, it's a pretty long list, and when I'm giving, you know, in-person presentations, people in the audience look at me as if, come on, man, no, it's that, you know, you can't be serious. I'm not going to be able to commit that to memory, not unless you give me a lot of time to do it. But in fact, Wolf, you'll have this down, and people that are following along watching this interview later will have the entire random list of words committed to memory perfectly in just about 3 minutes. And amazingly enough, without any review after watching this, even 1 week, 2 weeks later, you'll still know all of the words. They will just be locked into your memory. Mm-hmm. How people can pull this off, what I want you to do, just listen to what I described to you and do your best to just see and experience it happening in your mind. Okay. The whole key to this is try to just relax and have fun with this. So if people take a look at my website, you'll see on the front page this 2-minute video that has some of my TV clips. One of them is a CNN clip. So they had me on CNN and I had to memorize a half deck of cards during the commercial break. I only had about 2 minutes to do it. And when they came back live on there, it was live. So a lot of pressure on me.
Right,
it wasn't recorded and played later. Like millions of people were watching that live. If you pay attention to the clip, you're going to see that while I'm memorizing those cards, I'm smiling. I'm giggling. I think people thought I was a little bit crazy or nutty when I was on that show. But that's how all of this works. All right. So as people watching this or going through the exercise, if you're smiling and giggling, it's a good sign, all right? So just have fun with it, it'll be easy. The first word I had given was monkey, so I want everybody to just visualize a monkey. Just see this monkey in your mind, all right? Picture it. The monkey is dancing around, it's making monkey noises, whatever a monkey would sound like. I'm working on that monkey.
Maybe you can tie in the smell, like a banana or something. He's holding and eating a banana or something.
Well, you can put in the smell. Don't put banana because it's not one of the words.
Okay.
So you see, like, any image you add is actually going to be one of the words. This one is called the story method, right? So don't add any other visuals, but the smell you can add in there. So maybe, you know, a monkey smell, what it, you know, maybe you know from going to a zoo what a monkey would smell like, right? So the monkey now picks up a gigantic iron, like you would iron your clothes with, because that was the second word. All right.
Right.
So now you're seeing the monkey is dancing around with this gigantic iron. Just see this like a movie or cartoon playing in your head, however you can best visualize that.
Right.
The iron starts to fall, but a rope attaches itself to the iron because that was the next word. Maybe imagine that you even feel the rope. Maybe it feels sort of rough. Interact with it. Okay. Try to get more senses involved. Right. So we've got the monkey was dancing around with the iron, and now you're feeling the rope. You look up the rope, you see that the other end of the rope is attached to a kite that's flying around in the air. Maybe you reach up and try and touch that kite, okay? Really imagine that happening. You see that colorful kite. The kite now crashes into the side of a house. Really see it smash into the house. Next word I had given you was house. So picture it, really see it, smashes into that house. The house, you notice, is covered in paper. For some strange reason, it's completely covered in paper. Picture that. See the paper all over it. Paper is next. Out of nowhere, a shoe appears. It starts to walk all over the paper. Maybe it's messing it up as it's walking on it. Really see that shoe. The shoe smells pretty badly, so you decide to investigate and see why. You look inside, you see a little worm. That was the next word. Worm is crawling around inside of that shoe. See that worm. The worm now jumps out of that shoe and into an envelope. maybe it's going to mail itself or something, I don't know, but envelope was next.
Right.
Now a pencil appears out of thin air, it starts to write all over it. Maybe it's addressing it, okay? Maybe it's addressing it. See that pencil? The pencil now jumps into a river, and there's a huge splash from the river, right? River was the next word. The river, you notice, is crashing up against a giant rock. That rock flies out of the river. It crashes into a tree. That tree is growing cheese. You haven't seen a tree like that, probably. This one's growing cheese. And out of each piece of cheese shoots a dollar, right? The last word was dollar, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people will already know all the words, but I'm going to go through this again very quickly in about 30 seconds. As I do, just replay through in your mind this little story that we've created. So we started off with the monkey. The monkey was dancing around with what? It was an iron. What attached itself? It was the rope. The other end of the rope was attached to a kite. What did the kite crash into? It was
in the house.
What was it covered in? Paper. What walked on it? It was a shoe. What was crawling in the shoe? It was a worm. The worm jumped into the envelope. What wrote on it? A pencil.
The pencil
jumped into the river. The river was crashing into the rock. The rock flew into the tree. What was it growing? Cheese. And what came out? It was a dollar. So now, Wolf, give it a try. Take your time. You don't need to go quickly. Just totally take your time. And people watching this interview can follow along and see if they can do it.
So we have the monkey. We have the monkey. We have the rope, kite, house, paper, shoe, worm, pencil. Hold on. Pencil and... pencil, and then we have the river. We have the river, rock, tree, cheese, money.
Dollar. Excellent. So, Wolf, you did very well. You only skipped two. I want for you to go through it again, but just a little bit more slowly. Take your time. That was excellent for the first run through. Go do it again slowly.
Yeah, so monkey, rope, kite, house.
So monkey actually was carrying he was carrying something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Monkey, iron, rope. I can see how you can skip stuff. You're like, exactly.
You skipped two. That was one of them. You got it.
Right. So monkey, iron, rope, kite, house, paper, shoe, worm, envelope, pencil, river, river, rock,
yes,
tree, cheese, dollar bill.
Awesome, man. 100%, 100%. You're perfect. So that is an example of something called the story method, okay? It is just one of these techniques that memory champions like myself use to pull off what first seem like, wow, extraordinary feats of memory. So they've asked me over the years to be on a lot of different TV shows, Science Channel, Discovery Channel, a bunch of news programs. Most recently was BBC World News. They'll have me come on, perform some kind of, you know, what seems like a memory feat, and then give tips for viewers at home as to how they can improve their own memory. But what I really want to impress upon people during this interview on your show is the fact that there is nothing different at all about my brain compared to everyone else's. I've just learned these types of techniques that are very powerful and effective. I've just put in a little bit of training and practice. Everybody out there is capable of doing more with their memory. They just need to learn the right approach and practice a little bit, just like learning the right way to do the weights in the gym. And you know, if you're consistent, you're gonna see results over time. And what I mean is, as you mentioned, even just a few minutes, actually, I would say, you know, 10 minutes, three times a week, if you will just be consistent in doing that, you will really start to develop these memory skills. And there are so many benefits in addition to committing to memory specific types of information. Like this can, even the story method can be applied to presentations, facts, figures, things like that. You're going to notice an improvement in your memory in general over time because your brain is very trainable, right? The more you force your brain, to perform a particular function over and over again, the more it signals to your brain, hey, that's something important that I need to be able to do. So your brain finds a way to make itself better at doing it.
So, right? So let me ask you something, because this is just coming to my mind. I mean, the words you have mentioned right now are maybe a little bit visual words already, right? It's a monkey. Yeah. If you're talking about technical words, and I'm talking from a business perspective now, yeah. You know, if I have a punchline, a quote, or something that's a little bit dry, you know, we're talking like, you know, the word analysis or marketing strategy and all that stuff. So, like, I mean, I guess you have to find the visual image for words like that as well, right?
Yeah, very good question. So believe it or not, we've only covered one technique so far, and it's probably all we'll have time for in a 1 hour interview. I'll try before we finish the interview to also give a few more tips or strategies for names. But in terms of what you mentioned there, complex information, like complex terms, right, that could come from marketing, could come from other fields as well. Even that concept of the story method could be used. Let me give you an example. So from physics, okay, you're going to learn something called convection. You'll learn about convection. Now, convection is the transfer of heat from an area of higher temperature to an area of lower temperature. That's one of the definitions of convection. When you're first faced with that, you might think, okay, how the hell am I going to use this story method, you know, to memorize something complex like that? What you're going to do is come up with an image that will temporarily represent that new complex term that will allow you to build your story, and then you will just translate things back from there. So when I heard convection, I thought, okay, what can I picture for now to let me build my story? For now, I'm going to picture something concrete. I'm going to use a convention to temporarily represent this new term. So I'm visualizing for now a convention. It consists of two areas, a higher area with people up above attending the convention. Easy to picture that, right? There are people in a lower area also attending the convention, right? I see a fire breaks out at the upper area to represent heat, right? People are running, trying to escape from that fire. Very easy to visualize that.
Right.
The fire then starts to transfer down to the lower area, and people are running, trying to escape from the fire. Now what I have built in my mind is a very memorable scenario. It's easy to pull that back up into my visual, right? Visualize that in my mind. We just simply translate that back into what it actually is. What was convention, the temporary item for convection, right? And what did I just see happen? I just saw the transfer of heat from an area of higher temperature down to an area of lower temperature. So you've taken what was at first a complex new term, you've turned it into a simple series of memorable images. Now, again, this is a skill that you're going to develop over time, right? It's going to be difficult at first, but with training and practice, you're going to get good at doing this with even very complex terminology. I was a speaker over at Harvard. You can find on my website a testimonial from the Harvard Graduate Council. They had me give one seminar for hundreds of students. It was over at the law school. And then the students that wanted to sign up from that could sign up for 1 and 2 day in-depth training seminars. I worked with Harvard law students, business students, medical students. We tackled even very complex types of information. But again, okay, it takes the training and the practice. But I wanted to give you quickly there, sure, with that example, you know, an idea of how this is not just a monkey and an iron and, you know, it's the beginning. It's only the beginning.
Right.
There's really unlimited potential with these types of techniques.
Great. Awesome. Well, I mean, we covered a lot today. So, I mean, this was a great introduction. And I think I would say maybe a good way for people to really start thinking about that, you know, that they really need to pay more attention to their memory, to their mind. Because ultimately, you know, at the beginning, it might sound a little bit weird. It might sound like, oh my God, I have to do more work. But yeah, then, I mean, I can see that the benefits of doing so can be quite rewarding. I mean, on a personal level, when you're at a party, you can like, wow, you can come up with these quotes, like you mentioned earlier, that sounds like a lot of fun. Or from a business perspective, or just from general sense, right? So I can see there's a lot of benefit there. So Chester, thank you so much for joining us today. But before I let you go, tell people how they can reach you and what you offer through your program.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you again for having me. It is a little bit of work up front, but once you develop these skills, the benefits are really amazing. In today's world, in which the average person is really losing their memory ability because we're becoming so dependent on these digital devices, right? I talk about sometimes the danger of digital dependency in some of my talks. In today's world in which the average person is losing their memory, there is a business opportunity to set yourself apart from other professionals and really become more memorable to people in business and personal life when you do work on developing your memory. You're going to be so much more impressive. If people want to learn more beyond what we covered in the interview today, they can check out memoryschool.net. And currently there's a totally free trial. You don't even need to enter your credit card or anything like that. They can get started for free at memoryschool.net. So I encourage people to check it out, get started with this training.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Chester. It was a pleasure. Very exciting stuff. Hopefully we'll talk soon. All the best. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Wolf. I appreciate it. Thank you.